And we're going to be looking tonight at Luke chapter 2. Last week we were speaking about the subject of making the most of the rest of your life. I look around and I see a number of folks who were there for that. We just looked at how important it is to discover the will of God and to you see that worked out. And tonight I want to, with the first Sunday of Advent next Sunday, and having visited Brighton Station to pick someone up yesterday and seen the Christmas tree up in Brighton Station, and the lights are now on down Western Road. Okay, how can we make the most of the rest of our life? But let's just get practical and start with this next little while. How do we make the most of the Christmas season? How are you and I going to make the most of this Christmas season? And God just put this passage on my heart for us tonight. It's Luke 2, verse 16 to 20. And I want to read it and then just dig into it and discover some things for us tonight. So they, that's the shepherds. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Let me read that one more time. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Let's just pray and ask God to speak to each one of us tonight. Father, we come because you're a God who saves, a God who draws close to us, a God who's come and revealed yourself to a bunch of shepherds and then to your wider world, even to us here. And Lord, we want to see you tonight. Open our eyes. Help me, help each one of us, that you might see us see wonderful things in your word. So God, help us make the most of this Christmas season, I pray. For I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to dive straight in and say that to make the most of Christmas season, I think we need to start right here by doing what the shepherds do in verse 16. And that is make it a priority not to make sure you've got the stuff that you need for Christmas lunch. Not to make sure that you get the cards so that you can send them off. Not to make sure that you've got your plan and your diary and you know which of things you're going to and which you're not. Not to even make sure you've got the presents for your children, important as that is, or your presents for your wife, even more important, or your presents for your grandkids. And I imagine that's pretty important. Not to make sure even that you've done all the different things that you usually do at Christmas, that you've put up that decoration or this decoration. But here's the thing, you and I must make sure we do this Christmas. Find Jesus. Find Jesus. You know, I speak as the pastor, but I find each Christmas season, it is harder work to find Jesus, not easier. And that even as the pastor, who you might think with time set aside deliberately for that purpose, I find that I have to sometimes, like the shepherds, leave my work, leave even the flock or the things that are meant to be done, and somehow go and seek and come low to discover this one who's come so far to meet with me, but who I can easily miss because I think maybe like the story of Mary and Martha, well, I've first got to do this and I've first got to do that and I've first got to do the other. And I tell you what, I can tell you that Christmas for me is a whole different experience when I have had some time in this Christmas season of encountering Christ, coming, as it were, to the manger, seeing the baby. And I could tell you over the past few years, some of the times when that's come. I remember a time when Christmas has been really busy. I think it was quite early on when I stepped into this role as a sort of senior minister here. And, you know, just so much stuff going on. I found myself sitting in the Davigdor Christmas concert. This is before my kids were at the school or anything like that. And I remember I was sitting right there and surrounded by all these kids, and they were doing their, you know, the bossy fairy story where, you know, they're all the different clutter is getting in front of the Christmas tree, and, you know, the lights are there, the Father Christmas is, they're doing their Santa Claus is coming to town song and all this stuff. And then they kind of bring out the nativity scene, and the bossy fairy says, oh, we don't want those, they're broken. And then though they kind of say, well, they really are what Christmas is all about. And then these children who don't, many of them, most of them, believe in God, started singing about the Savior, and they said that, so they call him Jesus, Jesus the Savior. They call him Jesus, Son of the Most High God. And I was just pretty wrecked, to be honest, right there in my seat, thinking, man, this mighty God, the Son of the Most High God, he's the Savior of the world. He is the Savior of the world. And these children, like the angels, are singing it. Some of them don't know it. Some of them are singing it. And maybe as they're singing it, God's doing something in their life. But the Savior's come. The Son of the Most High God appeared on earth for those children, for me. And I just suddenly thought, this is amazing. I remember another time when the Nativity film was coming out, and it was, pastors and church leaders, we got a preview viewing, and I remember it was time when Nelia was here. I think you went as well, Phil. We were sitting there in the cinema and watching a film. And you know, you go to the cinema and you don't often have these profound religious experiences, or maybe you do, but you know, I was sitting there and I was just weeping at this amazing adaptation of the Christmas story, and just this wonder that Jesus came into such a humble situation. The poverty and the struggle of Mary and Joseph kind of came to the fore for me, and the reality that, you know, she had to go through childbirth and the uncertainty. It just really struck me and moved me. I'd known about it, I'd read about it for ages, but again, I was just deeply moved. It was more recently that I found myself in the hall. Terry Bov does amazing little layouts in the hall, so this was maybe just a couple of years ago, and I remember coming in one time, Saturday night, praying before a service and just saying, Lord, I need you, I want to meet with you. And I found myself in front of the little crib. This is the doll that Terry puts in the stall, you know, with the lights around it. I found myself in front of this doll. And you can see the glass doors in the hall, can't you? I just found myself thinking, man, they came and they worshipped a baby in a stall. It looked not much more than what was in front of me. Found myself on my knees thinking, and they had faith, the shepherds, the wise, faith to see that this was the Savior of the world, God, and they worshipped him, a baby in a feeding trough. The humility of God created all things. Folks, find Jesus this Christmas season. Take the time. Read the gospel accounts again. Go to things. Discover again. Allow your heart to be moved, even in the ordinary, familiar things, and discover Jesus again. Some of you have been reading the Christmas story and hearing talks on it and discovering things for way longer than I have. And yet I tell you what, this Christmas, again, you need to find Jesus. And I've been thinking about this, finding Jesus, and I've realized that there are actually, in the Christmas story, there are a bunch of different types of people. There are those who found and were seeking Jesus because they wanted to kill him. They wanted nothing to do with him. And I have to say, I've encountered this afresh even this Christmas. Those people who would like to eradicate Christmas. The ones who would far rather, said Xmas rather than Christmas. Take the Christ out of Christmas and what you left with? M&S. And that's what they would like. They would like it all to be about M&S. About, you know, the food and the glitter and the glass and what they can sell in the shops. And there are those who would want to join Herod in the search, even though it sometimes causes great havoc, in the search for the Christ child so they can stamp him out. Don't join them. But expect them. And there are those, many of them around Bethlehem and Jerusalem, who are just oblivious. Don't know. Don't know. And they won't go looking. And then there are others who are going to, like these shepherds, hurry off and go. And I love the bit back in Luke chapter 2 where it says this. They said to one another, after the angels come and visit, in Luke chapter 2, it says this. They said to one another, come, let's go and see these things. You know that little phrase there? When the angels left, they said in verse 15, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, that the Lord has told us about. And I imagine there were some of the shepherds who were like, well, what about the sheep? And what about all that? And we need to do this. And there were others who were like, come on, we're going to go. And then they said, let's go. And the others went. And you might find there are things this Christmas that you feel dragged along to. And you might be the one dragging along others. But I tell you what, in all those different things, sometimes you can encounter Jesus and find him in surprising ways. So this Christmas, folks, find Jesus. Make it a priority. Allow your heart to be moved again by just the extraordinary story, by the fact, as we were hearing this morning, that the Savior of the world has appeared. Love and kindness has come down. It's okay, folks. There is a Savior. He has appeared. All ends well. Mankind will be rescued. Hallelujah. Have hope. Sing, rejoice. It has happened. And so as we find Jesus, and this is why I want to encourage you early on as we make the most of this Christmas season to take the time to do this or to, in whatever moment, discover this for yourself. As we find Jesus, then other things flows out of that. And we're not going to have a time to do all the things tonight that mean we can make the most of Christmas once we've found Jesus. But I tell you what, if you do everything else but didn't find Jesus this Christmas, it would have been a Christmas missed and wasted. And so please, let me encourage that to be primary in your December month ahead. Find Jesus, get alone with him, be amazed at the babe in the manger. Second thing I want to say is once you found Jesus, then like the shepherds, look what they do in Luke chapter 2, verse 16. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the babe who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And this is the next thing I want to say, spread the word. And really, you'll find that if you're a Christian here tonight, you'll have an inbuilt default that it's Christmas time and you should spread the word. But you will do it in a very different way if you first have a time where you find Jesus afresh and then you spread the word. It will be a very different experience for you. And here's some of the things that happens as we find Jesus and then we spread the word. We get a heart to go and tell others about him. We want to be those who sow the wonderful good news of Jesus Christ. And so I want to just draw your attention tonight to this little flyer, an invitation here. Because this is an opportunity to spread the good news. And this is one of the big things God put on my heart tonight. Has anyone got a flyer already? There you go. A few people got them as they came in. You know what? I found already this Christmas time that I don't know if you know the parable of the sower. The sower who spread the word or spread the seed. And Jesus says, I think we got a picture in Luke chapter 8, verse 5. A farmer went out to sow the seed and he scattered it in all kinds of places. And imagine this is like a seed. And, you know, I found, I don't know whether you think that's going to, much is going to come from that. But I found already this Christmas time, I've picked up off the floor a number of these. I've had a few on my, person, as it were, whether in my pocket or in a handful of things that I've had, and one fell on the floor on the street, and I thought, actually, it's not going to do anything there on the street, so I, you know, picked it up, found this morning, I was going around picking up, they were falling on the floor. I found that, you know, I discover sometimes these at the end of the, end of the Christmas time, and they're in boxes, and I think, well, that seed didn't get out of the box. And I want to say this Christmas that sowing the seed is something that we're called to do. And this is a very simple, easy way to sow seed. To just plant it, something in someone's heart. And to just be scattering the word of God this Christmas invitation. There's even a scripture in it. So even if they never come, there's a scripture there. And then there's some great things to invite people to. And yet, if we don't take a bunch of these and start scattering them and telling people, Christmas is going to fly by. And I don't believe we'll have made the most of it. But you know, the difference between doing that once you've found Jesus and once you've been moved by that is absolutely massive. And so Christmas flyers are there. I really want to encourage you to use them. And a huge part of what I want to do tonight is get you so stoked up about the thought of what can happen as God moves in one of these that you'll just be blown away and you'll say, right, give me a whole bunch. I'm going to see what I can do. And pray and pray and pray for God to be at work. So you're looking at me and you're thinking, well, I'll do it. But here is the thing, folks. Even if just us lot over these next 20 days did this, who knows what God could do in light of it. So sowing the seed. Here's what I'm discovering at the moment. Is you know when Jesus talks about, sometimes he talks about need to sow the seed, and then other times you discover that he switched the analogy and now he's talking about a harvest field. Do you know that kind of story where Jesus says in Luke chapter 10, just a few verses on, he says, he told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. And I want to say, folks, that the harvest field is ripe for harvest. We are finding that there are amazing things going on where people are just saying they are hungry to kind of come to Christ and to know him. One of the guys getting baptized this morning, a guy called Gordon, shared his testimony. He emailed in the church, never having been before, emailed in saying he was really interested in talking to someone about baptism. And when I started exploring and talking about why was this thing, he'd been searching in all kinds of things. He had one of these really powerful encounters where he'd sort of seen almost a picture of hell and of the life without light and love, and he was just horrified at it, and he was aware of the problem in his life. He'd started reading about Jesus, discovered he was really drawn to it. He felt he'd never kind of made a commitment to anything like that. And he basically said, I've got to the point where I don't think I'm going to understand anymore unless I make a commitment. Does that sound right? And I said, it sounds bang on right. So this first time I met with him, I talked to him about baptism. And I even talk about the questions that we ask people. I say, could you say this? Yes. Could you say that? Yes. Could you say that? Yes. Yes. In fact, his one caution was, is the grace of God going to be enough for me? And I was like, that's God's problem. And then he gave his life to Christ when he realized that what he most needed was to accept Christ and then be baptized. And you know, just thing after thing that God was doing in his life. And he just arrived. I heard a story today. Someone who came to church, I think for the first time today, and they'd come because Andrew Goble had been just sharing about his faith. Andrew Goble sits in the wheelchair here. And he'd be talking about his faith, and someone brought them to church this morning. They were saying that there was such a stirring in the heart. They were even saying it was a baptism service. You know, would they ever be able to get baptized one day? They're coming to church for the first time asking that question. Tim preaches the word. They respond, giving their life to the Lord. Harvest is plentiful. But the laborers are few. Folks, will you be laborers? Will you be laborers who, whether it's sowing seed or gathering harvest, are going to be out there making the most of this Christmas like the shepherds were? And they'd only just discovered it. Literally, first time they'd heard anything about it was these angels and then seeing the baby. And how much more so many of us who maybe have discovered and know so much more than that. So folks, will we be spreading the word this Christmas time? Will we find Jesus and then will we spread the word concerning him? I love when it said, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. You know, they only did what they'd been told and seen. And folks, I'm not asking you to go and give someone a kind of doctrinal treatise on all their questions about everything that they've ever asked. I just tell them what Christ has done for you. Tell them about what you know about Christmas. Tell them that there's even just a chance to come and hear more in these coming days. And make the most of the opportunity. Here's a story I heard this week that got me really stoked. And I'll tell you a bit more about that after it. But it's a story about this gentleman up here. And I've never met him. He's there at the front. But Steve Jackson had the opportunity to hear him speak recently. So I wonder, Steve, if you could just come and tell us about this guy and what you know of his story. Thanks. Let's encourage Steve as he just comes up there.
Okay, Mike McKenzie, local boy. I was blessed to go to a breakfast in East Sussex. The East Sussex National Prayer Breakfast happens once a year. And those who go are mainly mayors and chief executives and councillors. It's quite a mixture with a few Christians. And I'd never heard of Mike McKenzie before, but Mike shared a story. He spent 42 years in the civil courts of the UK, sorry, the criminal courts, Old Bailey, which he ran, Registrar of the Criminal Appeals, Registrar of Courts Martial Appeals, served on the Independent Monitoring Board of Lewes Prison, Queen's Coroner and Attorney, Master of Queen's Bench Division of High Court, law professor in America, been on TV debating stuff, etc., etc. You'd think quite a cautious character. I've heard many testimonies in 30 years of both training men to give testimonies and giving them. Within the first, say, 3 minutes of his testimony, he shared how he'd spent 4 years, he was 31, he'd spent 4 years in the courts cross-examining a real mixture of folk, mainly, he would call them criminals, or people he was defending or he was actually prosecuting. And he was working on Brighton seafront. And he knew he could spot what he called a drug addict or a criminal. And he was approached by a chap who said to him, "What's your name?" And he took one look at this chap and he thought, an addict. All sorts of problems, just been released perhaps, or perhaps going inside. He said, "Why do you ask?" He said, "Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?" And he challenged, this chap challenged Mike on the front. And he was used to cross-examining people. And for the next 10 minutes, he cross-examined this chap. And within half an hour, he'd given his life to Christ. This man had cross-examined him. This man had responded to everything he threw at him. And if I could just give one very quick story from the Old Bailey, when he managed at the time of the Yorkshire Ripper and Jeremy Thorpe, for those old enough to recall Jeremy Thorpe and all those trials going on, he was walking down the corridor one day with his wig and his robes, and the Lord said to him, "Go and speak to a couple who'd just been given 7 years, who were down in the bowels of the Old Bailey." I haven't been there. If you have, let me know later. But that's where the courts, that's where the cells are when you've actually been convicted. That's where you're taken to before being put in the van and taken away. And so he went down to the cell. He found the cell. He knocked on the door. The barrister was in there. He said, "Do you mind if I come in?" He was a bit shocked, but he said, "No, please come in." So he went into the cell. He said, "Do you mind if I pray for your two clients who've just been given 7 years in prison?" The chap looked a bit shocked. He was Jewish. He said, "No, if you want to." And he said, "I knelt down and I prayed for this couple." He said, "I thought, what am I doing?" But he just prayed for this couple and for their future and God's hand upon them. And then he left. And about a week later, the barrister wrote to him. He said, "I have never been so touched in all of my years in the criminal courts. A life changed. The wonder of God."
Amen. Thank you, Steve. A man, quite a high-powered, influential man, walking along Brighton seafront. And just someone whose life has been touched by Jesus Christ, who maybe you'd think, you know, who is this guy? Like Steve said, he thought he was a drug addict. He shares something of Jesus, and this QC out of that, the seed of the gospel gives his life to Christ, and now is speaking to people around the world, is being used of him, and folks, you never know who that invitation or that conversation you're going to have, where it's going to lead, what God's going to do. So I heard this on Tuesday morning. I heard Steve, and then the flyers arrived for Easter. That's the kind of thing I do all the time. The flyers arrived for Christmas. And I'm thinking, oh yes, I've been waiting for these, and now we'll get a chance to go out, put a few in my pocket, fit a few outside. And I'll tell you what, since Tuesday, I've been looking for opportunities to give out the flyers. And fairly early on, I thought, this is what I'm going to speak about. And I have loads of stories. Try to give someone one, someone who I know quite well, they're a mum with look after kids, and they had so many kids with them. I was talking about them, and they said, "So pleased. I just We won't take it now. I'll take it next time I come in. So there I was on my flight. Okay, that's great, fine, brilliant, you know, and whatever. And then, I go somewhere else and I think, great, this would be brilliant. I'll get a chance to give them. And then I come out and I completely forgot about it. And so I thought, well, that's okay. There'll be other opportunity. And then I go to the barber this week on Friday, and I think, that's okay. I put one in my pocket. You know, barbers always take them. It's a great opportunity. Put one in my pocket. Went out with it in my pocket. Completely forgot. Until I got home. And then I was like really inspired because chatting to Laura, and we'd had some friends around the other day, just people who live opposite us, and Laura just thought it'd be great to have them over for a meal, and she gets talking to one of them and says, oh, would you like to come to the candlelight service again? Oh, yeah, we'd love to, you know, boom, boom, boom. And then she comes back on just a night this week when a friend invited her to a birthday party, so she went out to that, and she comes back and says, oh, amazing conversation, you know, this person who used to come to parents and toddlers, you know, just thought Graham and Margaret sent their love to you, remembered Cynthia as well, and just sending, you know, greetings, had been involved in tadpoles, and just was saying, speaking so highly of the church, and Laura said, oh, we're doing this candlelight thing, and, you know, are you interested in coming along? Oh, I'd love to come along, and I'm thinking, Laura, you know, it's amazing, so I'm even more stoked and thinking, right, and then we go for lunch today with some friends who are not Christians, and I'm thinking, okay, this is Graham preaching about tonight, there'll be opportunities, and thinking, and think, doesn't feel right there, doesn't feel right there, no. Get in the car, and I say to Laura, you know, just didn't seem to have an opportunity to, you know, talk to them about the candlelight, and Laura said, oh, I invited them, you know, so I'm thinking, oh, man, and, you know, I'm thinking, I'm glad I didn't leave all my inviting to the, you know, to the last week, because here's a week gone by, and I've not really had an opportunity, even though I've been looking for one, to share. And I'm thinking, praise God for people who are doing it. So let's remember we're a team. So I'm walking here, I'm thinking, well, Lord, what am I going to say? Am I just going to say that my wife is able to do this stuff, but even when I'm trying, and I just can't do it at all? And so I'm praying on the way here, and I'm thinking, you know, when you get to that stage, or maybe you don't get to that stage, just think, Lord, just anyone, just someone who I can have a story, invite someone. So I see, you walk all the way along, looking out for anyone I kind of know. And I know a lot of people around here. No one. And I come to just before we get in here. And it's the guys next door at the cafe. I like to go to the cafes because then I met to know people. And I just say, oh, you know, how's it going? Good day business? No, not a good day. Oh, sorry to hear that. I'm the pastor of the church. Oh, yeah. You know, just got these flyers through for, you know, are you interested? Oh, it's not my kind of thing. And a lady walks past. And says, oh, I'm hoping to come along to that. And it's one of the kids' old sort of teaching assistants from school. And lives just across the way and says, yeah, my mum and I like to try and come if we can. Oh, yeah, I'll take one. That's great. Thank you very much. And it just felt like God saying, hey, you know, you can keep trying, but I'm doing this. But also I want to say this. You know what? God really honors our evangelistic efforts, our heart at spreading the gospel, even when sometimes the thing we were trying to do was completely unsuccessful. Don't you find this, Phil? Sometimes we try to do something, we're praying about it, doesn't seem to work, and yet God then just opens this other door. And I would just say this Christmas, make the most opportunities. Go out there and try, spread the word. I'm sure, you know, the shepherds had people who went, what, what? And they had others who were like, wow, that's amazing. And, you know, wanted to find out more. But that's the way it is. As you spread the word, you seize the opportunities to kind of, as it were, scatter the seed. So here's the thing, folks. You know, as these, you pick them up and they leave them lying around the house, or you drop them on the floor. That's probably going to be like seed falling on the stone, I'm guessing. But when you're able to kind of put one in hand, you know, and say, you know, hey, Graham, there you go. You know, just interesting. You know, when you're able to do that, that's going to be like seed falling on the soil. And you don't know what's going to happen to that. And they might say, you know what, I'm not interested. Hand it back. And that's good because then you know. That was, you know, and one of the things about sowing seed in that parable is that you have to sow quite a bit of seed because the parable says that maybe only 25% of it is going to fall on good soil. So, folks, let's get sowing seed. Let's make the most of it because you don't know what conversation is going to lead to a guy's life getting completely turned around and having amazing impact for the kingdom of God. So will you do it? Will you make the most of the season to find Jesus? And then having found him and let him just thrill you again, having found him, then go and spread the news. And it might be that it's not the invitation. It might be that that actually leads to a conversation, to someone giving their heart to him. Praise God. So often works like that. People can't come or something and they say, but you know what? I'd love to 1 year. And you say, well, you know what? It's about this. And then you just get talking and sharing of the good news of what Christ has done. But here's another thing that gets contrasted in Luke chapter 2. Just want to end with this. Luke chapter 2, if you go back there with me. So they hurried off, found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed. Actually, isn't that amazing? It says all who heard it. Let that build your faith. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. And then it kind of contrasts Mary. And I want to say this Christmas that once you've found Jesus, it's great to be active and trying and seeking to spread the word and do all that. But it also is important to sometimes just take time to do what Mary did. And I don't think this is just do that or that. I think actually these both are important. And it says this about Mary. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. What things? Well, you know, the things, the Christmas things, the shepherds appearing, telling about the angels, and the baby being born in the manger, and the angel Gabriel appeared to her, and the wise men coming. The Christmas stuff. She treasured it in her heart and pondered these things. And I want to say this Christmas, I don't know what you think about this season. I don't know whether you've kind of got an inbuilt angst against it from something way back, or you find that the materialism of it all kind of just gets you really annoyed, or the jingles on the radio that start earlier and earlier. In our family, I go looking for them early on the Spotify and get playing them. But hey, it's not about the jingles and the tinsel. It's actually, there's something here that's really worth treasuring. Something about Christmas that is really worth treasuring in your heart. Pondering and thinking about. Maybe it's one of those moments that you'll have again this Christmas of just finding Jesus afresh. The Christ child. Or maybe it will be you pondering one of those times before when you've had it. A scripture that you start reading as you go into the Advent time and you think, wow, I remember in 1984 when that verse just spoke to me for the first time. I remember when Isaiah 9 must have been a teenager. Isaiah 9, at the end of it says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end, and the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish it. I remember that, and every Christmas time when I hear that, I think, oh, wow, yeah. Wow, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will ensure that the increase of God's government and peace, there will be no end. And just allow there to be times when you treasure things in your heart, because you will get bombarded with this Christmas time. You will get bombarded with people wanting you to treasure other stuff. They want you to treasure the food. They want you to treasure the kind of idyllic family moment. They want you to treasure this toy or this gadget, or, they want you to treasure the sort of this or that. And folks, here's the thing. Heart follows treasure. You say that with me? I think we got it up on the screen. Heart follows treasure. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so there is a battle going on over this Christmas season for your heart. It's a heart battle. Not just for your heart, but for the heart of others too. And this Christmas time, to make the most of it, you need to guard your heart. And you guard it by treasuring Christ, treasuring Christmas, which has Christ as the central bit in it. You guard your heart by treasuring that. And then out of the overflow of the heart, out of the overflow of the heart, that's how your life is worked out. It spills out of the overflow of your heart. Your giving flows out of what you're treasuring. Your speaking flows out of the heart. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. You see how connected this is with the first one. Out of the overflow of your heart, your life is lived out. Out of the overflow of the heart comes praise and worship. You notice how the shepherds, they were doing this. They returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd seen and heard, which are just as they had been told them. They were struck by this faithfulness of God that they were just singing about, and they were thinking, wow, this God's faithful. Out of the overflow of their heart was coming these things. So rather than just ask, you know, how's your heart doing, I want to ask, what are you treasuring this Christmas? What are you anticipating treasure? What do you treasure at Christmas time? And I want to encourage you for it to be things about the gospel accounts of Jesus Christ, things about the prophetic words that were spoken, things that are going to help you marvel afresh at this Christmas time, at who God is, at what he's done, that he's the Savior of the world, that he's Emmanuel. And may your heart, as it's moved by that, break out into songs, some glorious songs, the shepherd songs we've got here, the songs of Mary, you know Mary's song in Luke chapter 1 early on, where her heart just breaks out in song to God. May that be a theme of our Christmas time, that we just, we're there, and we're not just singing carols because that's what we do, or, but it's an overflow of our heart to God. So I want to just end by coming back to this finding Jesus. And I wonder if we can just take a moment, even as the band come back up here now. And I wonder if we could just pray and say, Lord, I want to encounter you afresh this Christmas time. I want to see you more fully. And we were just singing before we started the service, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. And interesting, that song goes on and talks about to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. This one who's so high and lifted up. You know, he came into a messy world and situation. He came into a world in conflict like Israel and Palestine right now. He came as a baby. And allow your heart to be moved again, that your eyes would see Jesus in all of his glory and splendor. So we're just going to sing this, maybe a cappella, but might be that we can go for it. Do you feel we can go for it? Tim knows it. It'd be fine. And in just this moment, let's just stay seated, and I'm just going to pray, Lord Jesus, would you move by your Holy Spirit tonight? Would you move by your Holy Spirit?